Well, Jim, I heard it on the news last night. The weather guy said there's a chance for frost in low-lying areas. You might want to consider covering your tomato plants. He didn't say and your bees, but he might as well have, because that's what I think of the first time every year I hear that warning. So I went out, and I'm looking for the stuff that I need to get my bees ready for winter. And, of course, half of it's missing. It's not on the shelf where I put it. I know I put it there. Somebody moved it. I know somebody moved it.
Yeah, right. Forgetful old man.
So it's time to start thinking about getting ready for winter. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. And the thing is that the winter this year is going to be different than the winter last year and what you do about it. And that's why I'm looking at this all fresh again.
I completely agree. Every winter is winter, but every winter is a different winter. The big dearth. This is what we've spent all spring, summer working on getting ready for, is bees going into this long, long quiet period.
Hi, I'm Kim Flottam.
And I'm Jim Tew.
And we're going to talk about winter again. We've talked about it in the past, but things have changed. The way things happen in winter have changed, and we're going to look at some of that today.
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tew explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world. Get ready for an engaging discussion to delight and inform all beekeepers. If you're a long timer or just starting out, sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
You know, every year we go through this, don't we? I had a look back and we've talked about it before, but every year it's a preparatory process.
And there's every year there's new information. There's things have been discovered, equipment has changed. You know, there's just new stuff out there that you have to consider. Am I going to do this? Is this meant for me? Or am I as well off doing things the way I've been doing them for 40 years?
Yep. Well, let me start it up. I read a guy who boldly said that bees don't freeze, they starve. So how much honey do you leave, Kim? How do you know when you've left enough honey?
That's always a good question. And, you know, every book you can read will give you a weight. And, of course, you're out there in the middle of nowhere and you pick up that box kind of full of honey and it weighs how much? And it's heavy, but is it heavy enough? Or should I put more on? Or do I have more to put on? Or do I need to feed? So I'll tell you what my rule of thumb is, and it's worked pretty well for me, is I leave a box on top of my brood box. I winter in 3 8-frame medium supers for my cluster.
3 8-frame mediums. So you got a tall, right, skinny hive, more or less.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people do 2 deeps.
Right.
2 10-frame deeps. I use 3 8-frame mediums. And then I have on top of that, I try to have on top of that, the equivalent of 2 mediums full of honey. And that gives me about somewhere between 65 and 80 pounds. And I'm comfortable with 65, and I'm really comfortable with 80 pounds of honey sitting on top of that.
Is that honey or is that gross colony weight? Because you've got 5 mediums stacked on top of each other, right?
No, that's honey, between 65 and 80 pounds of honey.
Now I'm off the subject. Do you have upper entrances on wintering colonies that tall?
Oh, good question. See, I don't do that. I got my colony situated so that they don't get hardly any wind in the winter. I got wind breaks kind of on 3 sides. So I don't get much wind. So I'm not too worried about them blowing over, but I got them propped up anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm still traditional. I'm trying not to be, but I'm still traditional. I keep bees in 2 deeps, and I normally leave a full super on. And sometimes they need it. Sometimes they're up there. Sometimes they're not. But normally I improvise some kind of upper entrance. You know, do you close off the entrances, don't you? Or do you just want it the 3/8 entrance across the bottom board?
Well, I close off most of it. I leave, you know, an inch or so on one side. But there's a bottom entrance that's open all winter.
Well, I improvise an upper entrance just in case they're up there. I honestly can't tell that they use it. It's their decision. It's small, you know. It's an inch or two wide. And it's on top of that second deep, between the second deep and my top super. I'm just thinking, if I were a bee and I was up in that super and I wanted to take a cleansing flight, I would go out that entrance right there instead of going down to the bottom board and going out that way. But I don't know that that's what bees do. It's just available to them. So an upper entrance or not. You have to decide. Yeah, I use upper entrances. You don't.
Like I said, that's the way I've been doing it since I started 8-frame, and it seems to work, he says carefully, because I still lose colonies. And my colonies, he says, I say this carefully, they never starve because there's always, I have honey on every colony every spring that's left. Sometimes they didn't get up to it. It is way up there. And if they get down too far and they can't break cluster to get back, they may starve. But it's not because there wasn't food. It's because of where they were.
Well, Kim, are you describing beekeeper mismanagement?
Yeah, sometimes.
Because I know what you're talking about. You can have honey in a colony and have bees starved because the honey was maybe 3 frames over. So here we go again, because that means if you're going, what, open that colony up in the winter? They always take a dim view of that. For those of you in cold climates, you know that. You're trying to open the colony up. They're flying out. Every bee that flies out's toast. They're never going to make it back on those really cold days when I'm trying to manipulate it. So sometimes, in your defense, the bees just eat the honey that's near them, and then they're unable to get to the honey that's not quite there available to them.
Yep. Is that because they got cold? Is that because the cluster was so tight and the inside of the hive was so cold they couldn't break the cluster to go up and get it? Was that because, and I can sit here and say, is that because
right.
for a day?
When you're saying this, I'm sitting here thinking, inside that dark hive, everything's a mystery to me. I'm cold. It's cold out in the bee yard. The bees don't want me to open that colony. I just don't really have a lot of way of knowing what's going on in there. So I end up doing a lot of guessing. And, you know, some years I guess better than others.
Do you wrap your colonies in anything, insulate them on the outside with anything?
I haven't done that in a while. You know, for a while, the bee industry commercial providers had corrugated waxed boards, and you put those things around. And then there was this tar paper wrap, you know, the building construction paper from building supply companies. I knew commercial beekeepers here in Ohio who wrapped every one of those colonies in very specific Christmas gift kind of wrapping techniques, folding, bending, twisting, stapling, punching. They had everything down to a fine art. But do I? That's just me trying to get to the answer of your question, Kim. No, I don't wrap.
Well, I think this might be a good chance to let our sponsor wade in here for a second.
Okay.
Now that the honey harvest is over, it's time to think about winter. It's important to make sure your bees have enough stores to get them through to spring. Visit betterbee.com/syrup to learn how to make your own 2-to-1 sugar syrup for fall feeding, and to shop for a hive top or in-hive feeder to make sure all your bees get fed. Remember to stop feeding sugar syrup once your daily temperatures consistently dip below 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Visit betterbee.com to learn all about fall feeding. Better Bee, your partners in better beekeeping.
Well, I try to get mine wrapped every year, and sometimes, of course, the world gets ahead of me, and I don't get them wrapped until I have to go out in the snow. But I don't insulate them in terms of trying to keep them warm. I use a plastic that's got a 16th of an inch of insulation on one side, and I put that on and just staple it to the boxes, and some foam on the inner cover, a sheet of foam with a hole in the middle to accommodate the hole in the inner cover, and then the cover over that, and two bricks on top of that. And then I've reduced my entrance down below. And that's it. I don't insulate. I wrap, but I wrap for... But like I said, I got good windbreaks, so that helps a lot.
You're almost confusing me. So you're not wrapping for insulation, right? Did I understand you?
Right. Right. I'm wrapping for ventilation control.
For ventilation control. I guess I got to ask you to go with that. What ventilation are you controlling? The hive air current moving through the hive from the entrance?
Yeah, well, not from the entrance, from between supers. You know, I got a stack of five supers up there. And my equipment isn't brand new. I know they propolize. I know they propolize the inside, but I've just put on three, you know, usually I just put on three supers not long before I wrap them with this stuff. So I don't know if they're sealed or not. It makes me feel better, and maybe that's all it's doing.
Well, that's important that you feel good about what you're doing. I agree with that concept. But if I did wrap my colonies, I think I would be doing it for insulation. Where are you and I going different here?
Well, I'm guessing that bees have been clustering in winters long before we started trying to protect them from the elements outside,
yeah.
And they've pretty much figured it out, and they're in that box. That box has got, R factor of a half,
right,
or something like that?
Right, I was thinking when you were saying that, it's low. I thought that some of the research had shown that those punky trees provided more R value than that, and had more insulatory qualities, both summer and winter. Year-round, it was insulated.
I don't know that. I know people are looking at it, and some are going one direction, some are going another direction, ventilation and condensation and all of that. But Langstroth, was it 1860, came up with a wooden box, and we've been keeping bees in winter in wooden boxes ever since, and we've still got bees.
Yep. Sounds like I'm arguing with you, Kim. I'm not. I'm trying to think here because we're doing this spontaneously. We also have a 42% winner loss on average, don't we? So if it always worked, will it always work?
I don't think that 42% winter loss is strictly bees freezing to death in the top super without food. I think there's a lot more going on. All of the viruses that are floating around, varroa mites and the viruses that they carry and that they're spreading from colony to colony and bee to bee inside. I think if you remove varroa and its consequences from the equation, we'd go back to, 10 or 15% at the most loss, winter losses. And that is pure speculation.
Well, I like that, though. I love that speculation. And you've opened the Varroa Pandora box because I was going to ask you at some proper point here, have you done your fall/early winter mite treatment, which is now a requirement?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say I'm religious about that, but it comes close. I'm a firm believer in the saying about take care of the bees that take care of the bees that go in the winter. And my bees that go in the winter, I think out of 100 bees, you might find a half a mite.
Well, that's good. So we got food stores, we got the entrance reduced, and I'm doing that. Don't want to get off the subject. We're doing that for ventilation control and to keep mice out. We may have an upper entrance, or we may not. And we're wrapping, or we're insulating. So we're to that point. And then the last thing we've discussed is that you've got to do something, listeners, about varroa, one way or the other. I mean, if you don't use chemicals, don't. But you've got to keep those bees knocked down because a good friend of mine, Kim Flottam, always says, take your losses in the fall. So let's go with that, Kim. What do you mean by that?
If your grandparents are sick, they're not going to be able to take care of your parents. So your parents are going to be behind the eight ball by the time you come along. And by the time you come along, there's nobody left to take care of you. So I want my grandparents to be healthy. So I go back to the last 2 weeks in August, and that's when I'm looking at taking care of the bees. Those are the bees that are taking care of the bees that are going into winter. I'm looking at the grandparents back there.
Well, that's a...
And that's when I start my treatment.
Sobering analogy. I'm sitting here all gloomy and depressed now because I don't have my grandparents or my parents anymore, so who's going to look after me?
Well, that's my controls. That's the sequence of my mind control. I start in late August, and by late October, I'm pretty much done.
Well, I like your notion because of a different reason. I take my mess in the fall instead of having to take my mess in the spring with dead, moldy, wet bees, trying to bang them off the comb, clean this mess up, salvage my equipment, and get bees back on it. It's actually easier to make a hard decision. No, they're not going to make it. And make that decision in the fall and either probably combine those colonies and then get a colony better situated to get through the winter. And then in theory, in a perfect world, Kim, next spring I'll split that colony and I'm back to where I started with the same number, but I didn't try to winter them over.
Yeah, take your losses in the fall. That's the way to do it.
Kim, you want to talk about this ventilation thing some more? That's kind of a... What would you say, an end topic right now? You want to talk about that in another segment and review some of the things other people are saying about ventilation?
Yeah, I think we don't have enough time today, and it needs more attention than that. So, yeah, let's do that next time.
Kim, on a totally different subject, I'd like to tell the listeners that each of these discussions has a written transcript on our webpage. And if you're so inclined and you feel the need and you can't understand my accent or whatever, everything that Kim and I have said here is in written format on our Honeybee Obscura webpage.
There's also a chance there that if you've got a question about what we're talking about, you can ask us that question, leave it on the webpage, and that webpage will send us an email, and we'll be able to get back to you.
Well, I feel like I should go stack firewood or something since I've talked to you, and we talked about my ancestry and everything else. You've left me in a foul spirit, but let's talk about ventilation some other time. And see if we can come up with some thoughts on that, too. I always enjoy talking to you.
All right. Been a good time. Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.